Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek on the Chili Ball from snowy Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for December 1st, 2010, episode 23, sponsored by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
With the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you're going to be so glad when it's over, aren't you, Jamie?
You know what, Glenn? After our show yesterday, I went online and I found a YouTube video of the TSO, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you're right. That's really cool, actually.
That's not your mama's orchestra here. It's not your grandma's orchestra.
No, I mean, yeah. The fire and the lasers, and it's like, you know, going back to an 80s hairband show.
It's sort of like Led Zeppelin meets White Christmas.
I can see that. Pink Floyd meets White Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny because you'll go there and in the audience, and you'll see seniors, I mean, really seniors. And they come there, and if they don't, they think they're going to see an orchestra. And they leave after about 10 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. How do they not know what they're buying tickets to? It's like, oh, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I've heard of them. They play Christmas music. Let's go. And, like, they get their faces rocked off. It's awesome.
Yeah, it definitely is a loud experience, and with just sensory overload. You do feel when you come out of it, because it's 3 hours with no intermissions at all. They do not stop. They play solid for 3 hours. And when you come out of there, you feel like you have sensory overload. You're kind of like numb. So it's a wild time. I can't wait. I can't wait. So tomorrow morning we're going to be tired and deaf. So pretty much you'll be doing the whole show by yourself.
All right, sounds good, whatever.
Today is it. Today we pick the winners of the big contest. Yay!
Yeah, that's fantastic. The two grand prizes for the month, $500 holiday shopping spree from Equestrian Collections, and then a choice of your Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600 from World Equestrian Brands. And what we're going to do is, do you want to explain how we're going to pick the winners, Glenn? Should we?
Yep, we have Robin coming on from World Equestrian Brands, and we have a representative, I'm not sure who yet, of Equestrian Collections that's coming on a little later in the show, and we have an Excel file that we put together of all the callers. Anybody who called into the show in the month of November is entered. We have 97 people on the list. Now, I am listed about 65 times, but we won't mention that. So we have 97 people on the list, and all we're going to do is we're going to have the representatives of those great companies that donated it. They're going to pick a number between 1 and 97, and that's who will be the winners of these two prizes. So stay tuned. You're going to want to hear if you're the winner.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, what we want to do is talk to you after. You can call in. After we call your name, you can call in any day because we want to hear what you're going to do. I mean, especially with the Equestrian Collections $500 holiday shopping spree, we might like to get a heads up on what you're going to buy us for Christmas. So, yeah, just so we don't have to do much shopping, don't want to buy the same thing twice kind of thing.
That's right. That's right. And we have a call-in topic today. The first caller today will get a WEG, a World Equestrian Games T-shirt that we have to give away. Size large, unisex size large. So that's for the first caller today. You can call us at 347-637-3238. And this is the first caller to talk about our topic today. And the topic today, I didn't tell you guys what it was intentionally, is horse husbands. Now, we've talked yesterday. I put a shout out. I was defending the Stallions of America, and I got a little ridicule for it after the show. So I'm representing horse husbands. You know, we as horse husbands know that you guys talk about us all the time. And you're always saying, oh, he doesn't do this right in the barn, he doesn't do that right in the barn and everything. Well, we do some things right, though. And, you know, Helena told a story on Stable Scoop, I think, a week or two ago. She said, you know, a cool thing happens that I didn't know about. She said, my husband kind of disappears after dark every night, and they have just brought their horses home to their new barn at home for the first time about a month ago. And she said, I followed him one night, and she went outside, and she spied on him, and he goes out every night after dark and gives the horses treats.
Aww.
So, you know, we want to hear your story of what's your horse husband do right? What's he do right with the horses? Because we do some things right. Like I think Jennifer would say, I'm a pretty good stall cleaner. Aren't I a pretty good stall cleaner?
You're a very good stall cleaner.
So now, Jamie, what's yours? What's your husband do right?
Now, let me start off by saying that, you know, this is not as fun as saying what they do right as it would be to say what they do wrong, because we always like the drama, Glenn.
This is for all the horse husbands out there. I'm representing today, just like I was yesterday. I'm representing today. We want to hear what we do right. So there.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, the list of things that you guys do right, I mean, my husband is awesome. He is so great. You know, most mornings now, he goes out while I'm doing the radio show, and he goes out and he feeds the horses and he lets the chickens out. So he had to go to work early this morning, so it falls to me. But he does that without even me asking. Yesterday, I have a very, very, very green thoroughbred, and he's getting a lot better, but I still am not comfortable riding him alone, obviously, for a million reasons. And so, you know what he's done every day that I go to ride him? We find a time that we can do it together, and he comes out with me and watches me ride him just for safety's sake. Yesterday, we planted some trees in our pasture, and he was out there, like, tending to the trees. He drives the gator. He drags my arena without even me asking him. So, granted, I'm in my first year of marriage, but he's doing all the things right now, all the time. So I can't complain about him. It's just more fun to complain just a little bit.
All right. Well, we'll do another day. We'll do what do horse husbands do wrong. We'll do that another day. But I want to be all positive. It's December 1st today. I'm going to see Chan Siberian Orchestra. I'm in a mood. So,
good. I'm
anyway.
Glad. I'm just joking about them doing things wrong because, really, I mean, we're so lucky. Any woman is lucky to have a guy that will participate at all in the horse stuff with her, you know. And I've been in a situation with boyfriends before where they didn't come to competitions, they didn't come to the barn, they didn't really care, they didn't involve themselves, and that's why they are ex-boyfriends.
Well, you know, we're going to get to Jennifer here very shortly. She's going to tell us what's coming up on today's show because we have a lot of fun stuff today. But I wanted to mention Curtis posted – by the way, Curtis, we got your call yesterday. We didn't have time to get to you, and we're sorry, but we have entered you in the contest that we're going to pick the winners later today. Curtis posted, and this is so timely, he posted this before the show today on Facebook, and you can go to our Facebook page, Horses in the Morning. There's conversations that go on there during the show, and we appreciate everybody that does that. He says, when you are no longer a horse husband and have become your own horse person, can a horse husband ever achieve that status, and do we want to? That's a very good question. You know, if you marry into it, you're a horse husband, you know? So do you ever become your own horse person, no matter how good you are, or are you always a horse husband? And then the follow-up to that is very good, is do we want to? And, you know, I'm not sure I know the answer to that. I'm kind of stuck on that one.
My brain hurts even trying to figure that out. So,
Jennifer, what's coming up today?
What's coming up today? That Glenn, that sounds like a good question for Dr. Oakley. She's coming up in, I think, 2 weeks. We'll ask her that one. On today's show,
okay, yeah, she would be a good one.
Yeah, today's show we have Raisa Bonetti, and I apologize, Raisa, if I didn't get it right, founder of Dressage Training Online. Through Dressage Training Online, you can access the vision and wisdom of dressage experts from around the world on your own computer anytime you want. It's a really interesting concept. I drove around the site the other day for quite some time and watched some sample videos. I think that's going to be a really fun conversation. And it's Wednesday, so it's Horse Health Day. Christy and Dr. Jones will be here, as usual, to liven up and educate us on worms and deworming.
Oh, goody. That's a good topic for Horse Husband Day, worms.
That's not positive, Glenn. We need to be positive.
I thought you'd pick up on it. I set you up. You could have come out with 12 different lines there, and you just do it.
I was trying to be positive. Come on. So we got a bunch of callers that are calling in right now, Glenn. Of course, you can join the conversation. We'll get to you guys in just a second. Don't go anywhere. Our phone number is 347-637-3238, and Glenn just wants us to pat him on the back, and we need to tell all the horse husbands in the world what they're doing right, and I'm going to have to play this show a little bit later for my husband because he's the best.
Well,
there you go. That's right.
Speaking of the best, we have to give Jennifer, I know she's probably handling the calls right now, but we have to give her a little round of applause here, because she has done a terrific job. It's her job for this show to set up all the guests and to keep us occupied for an hour and a half with interesting conversation and to book everybody. And it is a full-time job to do that. You know, she's booking 10 to 15 guests a week for our show. So, you know, she's done a terrific job, and I just wanted to say kudos to Jennifer. She joined us on the Tack and Habit show this week that just came out this morning. You can go to tackandhabit.com, and Jennifer joined Helena and I to do a review of a product that she's been using. So we had three great products we reviewed, one really cute one that I did and two practical ones. So hop out if you've never listened to the Tack and Habit show. You want to tune in to that. Because you know what, it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. It's not serious in any way, shape, or form. You know, it kind of makes this one look serious. So you can tune in there at tackandhabit.com. Well, I think we're ready to take our first call. Hey, look who's did you see who's calling in there? Well, he'll be available here in a moment. Yes, let's talk to Curtis, who I think is the Curtis. Hey, Curtis, are you the Curtis that posts on Facebook?
I sure am.
Well, hi, Curtis, and welcome. Thank you for calling on Horse Husband Day.
Oh, thank you for having Horse Husband Day.
Well, you know, I am so intrigued by what you wrote, and it was so timely because I hadn't told these guys what I wanted to talk about today. And, you know, that is a good question. So do you consider yourself having gone from horse husband status to a horse person?
Well, see, and that's what I'm not sure, because I've been, you know, I started off, I married my wife almost 20 years ago now, and at the time, you know, I knew nothing about horses. I was like, yeah, these things are big and scary. And, you know, for the first 10 years we were married, I was the horse husband. Yeah, I'll come help do this, I'll do that, but don't make me do anything major.
Right.
But,
I know that feeling.
When my daughter was born and, you know, she got to be about 5, she, you know, had the horse bug too. And so ever since then, you know, I've been doing more and more, and she's been in Pony Club, and now I'm in charge of the Pony Club somehow. So, you know, I ride now, and I, you know, I teach all these kids, and I work with all this. So, you know, I'm like, where did I cross the line?
Wow.
Well, you know,
that's a great question, Curtis.
I think you crossed the line. This is where my horse husband thinking goes. See if you agree with me, Curtis. You crossed the line the first day you wear breeches.
Oh. Yeah, that was a while ago. So,
how many pairs of breeches do you have?
I actually only have one pair of breeches.
Okay, well, you're on the border then.
I don't know. That's horse person to me. If you're committing enough to wear breeches, like you're in, and you have tall boots. Oh my gosh, forget it. You're definitely a horse person.
No tall boots.
Hey,
I've just got Ariat paddock boots.
Okay, then the next question is: have you, leaving somewhere, leaving the barn, gone out to a grocery store or a fast food place wearing your breeches?
Yes.
Oh, that puts you across the line. I think that does it. You know, I personally don't think there's any guy in the world, I don't care, professional or not, who look good in breeches. I just think every guy in the world looks terrible in breeches.
Oh, I think I disagree with that. There are a few.
Yeah, there are some guys who can do breeches, but, yeah, I'm not one of them.
Curtis,
wow.
You also... We're our first caller today, so you're going to have to hold on here, and Jennifer will take down your address. We have a World Equestrian Games T-shirt for you. You can give it to one of the kids and tell them you've spent tons of money on it, and re-gift it. That's allowed on our show. So I do appreciate you calling in. It's always good to hear from the horse husbands out there. Actually, the horse guys out there. We can't even call you a horse husband anymore.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Curtis.
Bye-bye.
All right, so that was Curtis.
Glenn,
we appreciate him calling in.
So do I assume that you yourself do not own a single pair of breeches?
I do not own a single. We owned a tack shop for 5 years, and I do not own a single pair of breeches. I've been in the tack business for 10 years, and I do not own a single pair of breeches. Now, Jennifer would have to remind me, but I don't think I've ever even worn a pair of breeches. I don't think I've ever gone there. Half chaps? Chaps, you know, all of that, but not breeches. I'm one of those guys that just thinks that nobody looks good in them. So.
I think there are a couple guys that pull them off, but they're not the most attractive pair of pants, unless you're one of the skinny models in the catalogs, you know, that have never sat on a horse in their entire life.
Oh, you know, and Katie just posted on Facebook, horse husbands deserve to have us thank them way more than we do. Or at least I do. Yay, Katie. Mine isn't a horse person, and he does do plenty of things wrong, but he puts up with me going to any event I want and spending any amount of money I want, and he really doesn't complain. I've been in grad school for the last 2 years, and he's been really good about offering to go do chores when I'm working really late. He even comes along with me when I want to go camping. Even after a four-hour ride, which is a long time for a person who doesn't ride, he doesn't complain. When people ask me if I wish he were more involved, I've said then I'd have to buy twice as much stuff. This is as involved as he needs to be, and it doesn't cost extra. Well, that's right, Katie. That is true. You know, we've had that conversation, too, is, you know, when your horse husband gets truly involved, half the money, you know, he's just sucking up your money.
Yeah. And then you have to share stuff. I mean, I'll tell you, Glenn, my horse husband – when we got this farm, I teach some lessons in the afternoon, and we decided we wanted to go get, you know, a lesson horse. So we saw this ad on Craigslist. And someday we'll do a show about how poor Craigslist ads are and actually representing what you're going to look at. But we go out there to see this horse. It says it's this 15-year-old, dead broke, kid safe, you know, lesson horse, perfect kid's horse. And honestly, we get out there, and this horse is 25 years old. It's skin and bones. It's blind in one eye. And you know what he says to the woman? He goes, "We'll take it." And I was like, what? I'm like, you can't take that horse. That's it. And he was like, but you like to rescue animals. I said, dogs? We'll need to rescue a 25-year-old blind horse. But you know what? This horse loves him. This is the best kid's horse we have ever owned. His name is One-Eyed Willie. Chad named him, and it's Chad's horse. And I actually posted a picture of him on Facebook. This horse comes up to Chad and actually puts his head on his shoulder and will fall asleep standing there. And it's like, you know, when you get them from a rescue situation, I really think that they do appreciate it. But the involvement of my now horse husband to buy a horse to put in our backyard that looked like that, it just warms my heart. And I'm sure there's other people out there, too, that have similar stories where the guy actually jumps in and tries to bring an animal home and save it. So, that was one of his shining moments. And he's already told me we'll keep One-Eyed Willie until he goes out to pasture in heaven. So we get to keep him forever. And that was his best shining moment as a horse husband.
Well, you know, and he, I think I've done that too, to be honest with you. I think I'm probably a bigger sucker than Jennifer when it comes to horses, for sure.
I think there was a certain little brown pony you did that with. You saw her standing in the field and go, get her. She's cute.
Yeah, exactly. I've done that with pony. I'm a real sucker for pony, so it's happened more than once. It definitely has happened more than once. Hey, we want to thank Karen for calling in. Her phone, I think her phone disconnected her. She loves her horse husband, and he is her dedicated financial backer. Now doesn't every horse wife want one of those?
Yes, that'd be nice. That would be great.
Hey, you know, you also wrote up here, and we want to say Happy Hanukkah. It's the first day of Hanukkah. So Happy Hanukkah to everybody out there.
I figure you're going to be in the major holiday spirit after seeing Trans-Siberian Orchestra tonight.
I'm already there. I'm just ready. I'm pumped. And it's first day of December. You have to be. That crosses this corner where horse husbands can start to get excited about the holidays. Well, I wanted to also say that tomorrow starts one of the biggest horse events in America every year. And that is, do you know what it is?
No.
You should. The National Finals Rodeo happens in Vegas every year. It's one of the biggest horse events in America every year. National Finals Rodeo starts tomorrow in Vegas and I think runs for 10 days, doesn't it, Jane?
Now, the reason I didn't know is because I'm actually – Vegas is a four-hour drive from me, so 4.5 hours. So I'm actually going next weekend, not this weekend, but the final weekend of the rodeo. And I'm going with a bunch of friends up there, and we're just going to watch some cowgirls and nice horses.
I noticed Witch was first in that order.
I mean, we're going to watch some really great horse people out there and the Wranglers and have a good time in Vegas. And of course, you know, we will be in bed by 9 o'clock every night being in Las Vegas, and we will be very well behaved, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, that's terrific. I'm jealous you get to go to the National Final Rodeo. That's something I've always wanted to do. We kind of have to work it out next year so that we can do the show from the National Finals Rodeo. Wouldn't that be cool?
Well, you can be jealous of me for that, but I'm still jealous of you for having the Wags in your backyard, okay?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. It was okay. It was definitely okay. Hey, did you see, speaking of Wag, remember last week we reported on Run Henny Run that we had another one of those situations where a horse was being taken from the rider? And, of course, this particular horse is famous because his name is Henny, and he has been the subject of many videos, cross-country videos. And Henny was basically taken from his rider out of the barn by the owner, and it's going to court. And that was supposed to be a court date on the 29th of November, and they were supposed to find out what was going to happen, whether the horse had to be returned, or what was going to happen with that situation, and right now it's still up in the air. The judge had not made a decision yet, but apparently the judge has issued an order that nothing was to happen with the horse until it was settled in court.
Right, so, and I think it's back in Peter's barn, though, right? I think the story is, because there's like three of these cases happening right now. I'm getting them confused, but I think it was Peter owned 40% and the owner owned 60%. and Linda Martin, and I think she just came in the barn and took them, or no,
yep,
that's the
yep.
other one. This is the one where he kind of took the horse in training because she was at a clinic with him, and she couldn't ride the horse at all, so she said, you know what, take the horse, put it in training, and then we'll figure out something down the line. And now the horse goes and is, you know, kicking some butt, gets really famous, and now she wants the horse back to sell it. That's
yeah, and apparently you were right. The court order gave Peter custody of Henny and prevented her from selling Henny, and they're determining whether that will be extended or not. So at this point, and that horse is an exceptional horse. You know, most event horses, you could not put a little kid up on it to ride. This horse, you can put anybody on it to ride it. Henny is an exceptional horse, and of course became very famous for those videos. And I think that the website is runhennyrun.com. So
yeah,
you can check that out if you want to take a look at that. Just thought I'd give an update on that. And then there was a big story around here locally in Kentucky, Marshall County, Kentucky, that Hollywood trainer Rex Peterson, who I got to meet here at the World Equestrian Games, he's the one that provides all the famous horses for the movies. And he came in, he met a white horse, and this isn't a gray, this is one of the rare white horses, and this horse is white. He actually met this horse. The World Equestrian Games was in for an exhibition, I believe, and he came back and bought that horse. So now this rare white horse by the name of Arctic Bright is being shipped out to California. It's going to be a star on the big screen. He expects that he'll spend several months training Arctic Bright before putting him into a movie, but he's thinking that he's going to get some requests much sooner than that because there are very few of the rare white horses. So.
Yeah,
so,
does this mean that they might remake Lightning the White Stallion? Do you remember that movie?
No, I don't remember that at all. Jennifer, did you ever see Lightning the White Stallion?
Not ringing a bell, but that might be because I saw it and just didn't know the title. Give me a brief storyline.
You're reaching back, but I remember vividly Lightning the White Stallion galloping down the beach, and I think it was running away from its bad owner and going to its new owner or something. Maybe somebody could call in with the storyline of Lightning the White Stallion, but I remember because I when I was a little, after seeing Lightning the White Stallion, all I wanted was a white stallion, and that was it. And I ended up getting a white pony that was a mare. But
you got the white part.
Exactly. I was one of those spoiled children that had the pony in the city, so I can't complain. But it was great. So that movie, Lightning the White Stallion, maybe, and this is a prediction, maybe Arctic whatever is going to be Lightning the White Stallion. That'd be cool.
Hey, Jamie, I have a message for you on Facebook from Alan, our co-host, Alan Moorhead, co-host of the Western Radio Show. He says, yay, uh-huh. Jamie, do the Western thing. The NFR is fun, but don't wear your breeches.
I know better than that. Oh, no way would I wear breeches to that. I'm going to go out and get myself a pair of Rocky Mountains or a pair of Rockies or a pair of Wranglers and put on some cowboy boots and go out there. I think I'm going to dress the part.
Do you have a big-ass belt buckle?
Not yet. I got to do some shopping.
So you're going to have to get one of those before, you know, if you're good. I have a challenge for you. If you're good, you'll get one of those big belt buckles given to you by a cowboy. Well, maybe not.
Oh.
That'll get you divorced. So we better forget that one. Michelle wrote on Facebook. She wrote, Ricky, and that's her husband, good friends of ours. Ricky has a nice pair of breeches, a helmet, and a pair of Ariat paddock boots. He wears the paddock boots fairly regularly, but not the breeches. So I'm glad to hear that too, Michelle.
One other story I
wanted to talk about before we go to our first guest today, and that is there's a phenomenon. You know how every year there's a toy that becomes a huge hit, like Cabbage Patch Dolls, and what were some of the others? You know, that just become a
Pickle
a
Me
huge
Elmo,
hit?
The
yes,
Beanie
Elmo.
Babies, yeah, any yep. anything like that.
Well, this year you're going to be shocked. And it started in England, and it's going all across the world now. It's Butterscotch, the animatronic pony, is just flying off the shelves. This is a pretty much full-size pony that's animatronic, and it costs $300, by the way, so this is a serious gift. Hasbro makes it, and Hasbro's marketing for it is emphasizing the girls' love of brushing, feeding, and taking care of furry things, especially ponies. And this, he actually did a story in Business Week on this. This is how big this has gotten. And what she says is, she says that the pony is pretty realistic, you know, but moody. She said this particular pony is moody. She tried it out, and she said that there's a carrot, there's a plastic carrot that you can feed the pony, and the pony will actually, like, chomp on it and make munching sounds. But she said the day she was in trying it out, the pony was feeling peckish, she said, and wouldn't do it and wasn't having any part of it. So she said that robotic ponies can be moody like that. And then you're going to talk about the correlation to real ponies. Listen to this. And therein lies the main drawback of this toy. When it's good, it's captivating, almost freakishly lifelike. Once during my test, I'd left Butterscotch switched on all morning. After a few pats and paces around the room to test her eyesight, I'd gone off to do other things. Leaving her to bow her head and close her eyes in a battery-saving sleep mode, she enters when the room is dark or she hasn't been played with in a while. A half hour later, I came back in the room and opened the blinds, letting a rush of sunlight in. Butterscotch sprang to life, lifting and shaking her head, blinking her eyes awake, and loudly neighing. What kid or adult wouldn't be enthralled? I started feeling like I was living with something that was perhaps just a bit too alive. So there's Butterscotch, the pony, sounds like real pony. You know, a little peckish sometimes, a little moody, but lifelike.
But you know what? It's not going to buck you off, and that's the main part. But
sure.
This thing is so cool, Glenn. I mean, it's the size of a Shetland pony, and it's, again, Hasbro, and it's so cool. But he's right. It is a little bit creepy because it's so
well,
real.
You know, and that's what's happening with robot. This is really a robot is what it is. You know, and she says in here, too, she says, the bottom line, great gift for girls patient enough to learn how to make the toy respond the way it's supposed to. Wasn't that true of real ponies, too? I mean, the correlation was just so good that she made here to real ponies. And then there was a comment. I love this comment. You're going to crack up when you see this. This lady bought the Butterscotch for her three-year-old, but the three-year-old took apart the bridle, and she can't get it back together. She thinks it should come instructions on how to put the bridle back together. And I'm going, yes, as a horse husband, I need instructions how to put the bridle back together, too. So
we need a diagram. That's great.
Well, I think we should probably continue with the show now. We've just had way too much fun.
Well, I think we have a guest on the phone, actually, Glenn. Our first guest today.
Yeah, hold on one second, though. We probably should say who this half hour is sponsored by, so I don't get fired.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I got skipped ahead there. Back on Track is who sponsors this half hour, and Back on Track is a great company run by one of the nicest guys in the horse world. You know Back on Track for quality products that benefit your horse. Top riders from many disciplines use Back on Track's product to warm up their horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. More importantly, they use the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries. That's what makes Back on Track products so unique. Back on Track products' genuine aim is to contribute towards your horse's well-being and good health in the easiest, most comfortable, and pleasant way. Learn more about Back on Track products at backontrackproducts.com.
And I wanted to say, Jamie, that those products would also make great holiday gifts. They're practical, and they're good for you. They have human stuff as well, so good for you.
That's
and
practical. I love practical.
Yep. Jennifer loves practical. That's right.
Well, we have a guest.
Now you can introduce the guest.
Well, we have, is it Risa Bonetti? And she is the creator of Dressage Training Online. And you say Dressage Training Online? Yeah, it's actually like a clinic online, and there's a monthly subscription you pay, and you can go in and you can find any questions that you have. And it seems like there's a clinic kind of done about everything. Good morning, Risa. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. Lots of fun to be here. And
you are
of
welcome.
Course, I love talking about DTO, which is our little pet name for it. But yeah, thank you. I was very surprised to hear from you, and I was excited to share anything I could share about our little consortium of training communities.
Well,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, tell us all about it.
Well, okay, let's see. DressageTrainingOnline.com was started by me about 4 years ago. We will have been live, exactly 4 years come this February. And it was really an opportunity to create something for the dressage world that targeted amateurs and professionals alike, allowing them to have an opportunity to access the masters of the world and learn from them. And since learning is done best by seeing and hearing, we decided to create a whole video format. So everything is video. It's training level through Grand Prix, and essentially it's way more than the clinic, because a clinic simply allows you to see a single clinician one time over the course of a couple of days. It doesn't allow you to follow their training, to really get into the meat of their training methodologies. It just kind of gives you a tip of the iceberg and a couple of tools to walk away with, hopefully. But if you have access to these type of clinicians on a regular basis, then you really can much better follow how they train and what their thought process is and how they really develop a horse or a rider. Most of our clinicians we've worked with for 4 years, we have probably 20, 30 videos of many of them. And oftentimes you can see some of these horses from the time they were, you know, 3-4 year olds till now they're, you know, 7 or 8 years old. Which is really powerful because you get to see them develop and you can see the clinicians and the exercises they've used to develop them at every stage in the game. So the purpose of the community is to be able to allow people to log on as a member and search for anything that they're particularly interested in. And sometimes they search by trainer because they just want to follow that trainer. Sometimes they search by the age of a horse or the training level that they're at. Or sometimes they search by a concept, you know, such as how to get the horse on the bit or half pass, you know, for a movement. So they can search any number of ways, and it, of course, picks up and brings up the most pertinent videos that are tagged for that concept. Or they can just go through and look at exactly what's available under each trainer's category. So that's pretty much what it is.
Yeah, that's quite a mouthful, I know, but well, no, I'm when you look at the website online, you realize that there are just, I mean, how many clinicians do you have on there? Or how many trainers?
I have about 35, but they're not all trainers. Some of them are judges. So we actually have some things that are really unique about Dressage Training Online that sets us apart from any other type of video training community that could possibly even be out there. And the fact that we have the judges is one of those things. We have something called the judges view. Most of our judges are FEI judges. And what we've done is we film tests that they have just judged. And we go back with them at another time, not during the test, of course. And at that time, they relook at the test on video, and then they give commentary to it. So they take you through movement by movement, explaining exactly what they're seeing versus what they want to be seeing, explaining, rescoring it for you, and going into a lot of detail about why they're scoring it the way that they are. So if people could imagine, you know, getting their test sheet back or being able to see somebody's test sheet, but having it be, you know, like 10 times better. Because a lot of times we compete and then we get this test sheet and we get one or two words or very few words next to a few movements, and that's what we get to walk away with. But in this scenario, you get to see every single movement. You get to hear the judge talk about each one, see the score, and they explain, well, you know, why not a 9? So they talk a lot about that so that you can really see what it's supposed to look like and go back and try to replicate.
That's actually pretty amazing. Now, the worst thing would be is if you were looking online and you saw yourself being judged and broken down by a judge going, this is what she did wrong. This is what she did incorrectly. This is what she could improve. And you're like, oh, my gosh. So do the people know that this is going to happen to them, or is it just kind of one of those things they find themselves there?
No, it's no surprise. That would be quite funny.
Janie's way too emotional. She could never handle it. She'd be a little pile of goo on the floor.
Oh, yeah. See, Risa, I actually am competing this weekend, and I'm on the lookout for you. I don't want you anywhere near me.
Yeah, so where are you going to be?
Not telling at all, ever. I mean, granted, it's a great tool to watch other people, but, yeah, I'm way too hypersensitive about my riding.
No.
So.
Oh, my God.
I can't imagine.
Trust me, I'm heavily monitored by different authorities, and no, I have to have permission from the rider. So it's all my judges, and afterwards I have to receive permission from the rider. So I can film whatever I want, but to go live on the internet with it, you have to receive permission from the rider. So everybody that is whose rides are featured have given explicit permission to be able to use it, because you know what, it's for educational purposes. And the fact is that there are lots of people that are like you that don't want their ride on there. However, what I have to say is, excuse me, the power is in the ride that needs help. I mean, that's where we learn. We can go online and watch beautiful rides and beautiful horses all day. I mean, all you have to do is pull it up on YouTube. You can see what it looks like at Grand Prix and done beautifully. But it's harder to be able to watch somebody that is actually in a more developmental stage and see what the changes are that need to be made. That's where the education comes in. It's not from watching it done perfectly. Sometimes, yeah, I want to put stuff up that's perfect. I want to show 9999 or this test has tens in it, because people need to see what that looks like. But there's definitely stuff where you're going to see, you know, fours and fives. So it's a mixture of both, because that, again, is where we learn.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. I think, we can watch, we could watch Edward do his WEG test over and over again, and we're being enthralled, but we're not going to learn a whole lot from it. This, by the way, I think would make a terrific holiday gift for the dressage lover in your life. I can't think of, we get things that we give to them, physical things that they use once or twice and get put in the drawer. This is something that they could use all year long. This would make a great, we're talking about horse husbands today, so this would make a great gift for a horse husband to get their wife that's into dressage. It would be a terrific one.
It is, and we actually have gift certificates that we sell online. They're on the homepage at the bottom, and there's a big red box with a bow that says gift certificate. You just click on it and order it, and it can either get sent to the recipient via email or by snail mail. So, it's a great gift. I also wanted to mention that DressageTrainingOnline.com is our flagship product. However, over the years, we've had many requests from people wanting to do the exact same thing for their own niche community. So with all of that interest, we developed a parent company called EnthusiastTrainingOnline.com, which anybody can see if they go to it. And under the EnthusiastTrainingOnline.com category, we have launched other niche community websites, and they're not all equestrian. So we actually did just launch one equestrian one last week, or actually a couple weeks ago. We launched it right after WEG, and that's reiningtrainingonline.com. And that is set up to be just a total powerhouse, with the fact that reining has just been indoctrinated as an Olympic sport. There's all kinds of things going on.
Hold on. WEG sport, not Olympic sport.
Sorry, WEG sport. My bad.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry about that. Flip of the tongue.
I was like, really?
Yeah, I love reining. I had so much fun watching reining at the WEG, and it's interesting, because when I saw you were coming out with reining, I thought to myself, you know, this is the so many people now are cross training. There's a lot of reiners that are taking dressage lessons and vice versa. So it's just neat that you did those two.
Yeah, those are the two that we have right now. And then we have lots of other things in the hopper, so people will have to keep their eyes and ears open. But it's interesting because the platform works for so many different niche communities, allowing them to bring something that's educational and meaningful to that community and helping them further their sport or their hobby or their, you know, skill set, whatever it is their skill set is. It's the furtherance of that and giving a tool to people to use to be able to build upon their knowledge.
What are the others that you do that are non-horsey on enthusiast training online?
I just launched learntogroomdogs.com, learntogroomcats.com with that. And we have
I got one you can groom, and we'll just give them to you to do because I'm not busy. So we like our own.
Yeah, so that's non-horsey. We have a couple of gaming sites that are coming and a couple of other, two other non-equestrian, but they are sports sites coming in. I can't divulge the names until they launch, of course, but it's exciting and fun, and that's really where another one of my passions is helping these people create what I've created with DPO and allowing them to be successful, and we really hold their hand and we really partner with them as a partner to be able to make them as successful in their world as we have been in the dressage training world. So that's the goal, and they're doing
perfect
fantastic
idea.
And yeah, so it's great fun.
And we are, of course, talking to Risa Bonetti. She is the founder of Dressage Training Online, where you can go online and do all the things she's been talking about. But I have a question, Risa. Do you have a whole staff? I mean, are you videotaping these things? This sounds like a ton of work. And obviously, you've focused the last 4 years building it. But my gosh, I mean, to take all these and talk to these judges and get these clinicians and these instructors out there, you must have just 100 people working for you.
I wish I had 100 people working for me. No, actually, I don't wish I had 100 people because that would be like managing 100 people. No, I do have a staff, though. I have an editor. I have a videographer. I have quite a few videographers all over the world that work for me. I have a marketing director and a customer service person. And those are my solid staff, and the rest are all freelancers. When I started this 4 years ago, I did do it all myself. And it was crazy, as you can imagine, for the first year. But I was highly motivated, and I'm energetic, so I was able to do it. And I loved it. I mean, that's the whole point around this, is that is my passion. My passion is dressage. I'm not a professional. I'm just an amateur rider. I've never shown above second level. I train above that. But I've never shown above second level, but this is my passion. This is what I love to do. So when I originally created the concept, I was, you know, I was pretty pumped up about it, as you can imagine. And I wanted to provide myself with something where I could learn from the absolute best, because I didn't come from a dressage world. I came from, I was just, you know, pleasure riding and doing, you know, things like barrel racing and stuff like that on the side for fun. But I was hooked on this new discipline, and I wanted to learn from the best, and the opportunities weren't available for me for a number of different reasons, whether it was time, I have children, and it was money, it was expensive to learn from the best, and it was the fact that I was an amateur, and I often wasn't invited to go to these really top-name master clinics. And so I thought, well, I want to learn, but I want to learn right, and so how can I do so? And I found some tools out there, but they weren't all that. And I thought, you know what, I'm at a spot in my life where I want to get back into the workforce anyway, and I am fortunate to be able to do something that I want to do, and so I think I'm going to create a business around this, and that's what I did. So I did it, but then after a year, yeah, you can't. you just can't. You just can't do it yourself. So
well,
I have to tell you,
I am so impressed because you're basically what you've done is you've taken, in a way, you're building a business, sort of like the Dummies books became a business. You're building a business here that I can see this can go so many different directions, and the fact that you're opening up to other enthusiasts for any other things, I can think of a thousand other things that these websites could be built on. Congratulations on a terrific business model. You know, forget the training. This is a terrific business model, and you were wise enough to see that. So, great job, Rita. I'm very impressed with that.
Thanks. It's a lot of fun, and I do it because I love it. I couldn't have ever created any, you know.
Tell everybody how much it costs and, you know, how they can get involved with it.
Sure. Membership to Dressage Training Online costs anywhere between $24 to $36 per month. And that's based on, we have different federation discounts because we partner with different federations around the world. Another thing to mention is this is really a worldwide site. All of our sites are geared to be really international. So about 50% of our membership base is from North America, and the other 50% is from the other countries around the world. So depending if you're a federation member, it could be, if you're nothing, no federation member, no discount coupons, $36 a month. If you're a federation and you sign up for a 3-6 or 1-year plan, it could be as low as $24 a month. So it just depends on what fits into each person's budget and what they choose.
And you know what? That is only about, you know, depends on where you are, but that's less than half of a lesson, you know, or one-tenth of a clinic, and you get this for the entire month. So I think it's a great product.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Glenn, the entrepreneur himself who created the Horse Radio Network, is very excited for you. So
yes,
Rita,
I am.
Vinetti, Rita Vinetti from Dressage Training Online, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll have your link up on our homepage as well, and maybe you can put ours up on yours.
That would be wonderful. I absolutely will. Thanks so much. It was really fun to be here, and I will catch up with y'all soon.
All right. Thanks, Risa. Now we're going to talk to Chris in the news.
This is the Horse Radio Network News. Tragedy struck at Aqueduct Racecourse this past weekend when a 4-year-old gelding, Ryan and Jack, stumbled and fell on a turn and also brought down October Dream. Ryan and Jack was euthanized with a skull fracture following the accident, and both jockeys were hospitalized. Ryan and Jack's jockey, Jason Garcia, suffered concussion, and October Dream's jockey, Jose Bermudez, acquired some sore ribs. Lexington, Kentucky hosted its second Horse Mania exhibition this year when 82 painted horses were on display from mid-July until late October throughout the streets of Lexington. Now that this art display is over, the horses will be offered for public auction on Friday night at Keeneland Racecourse. The auction will benefit Lex Arts as well as 84 local charities. Bidding for each horse will begin at $3,700. The first Horse Mania auction in 2000 realized a top price of $53,000. A Canadian woman is fighting for her horses' lives after they were imported from France with temporary permits when they should have had permanent permits. The Toronto Sun is reporting that Adriana Zarafa hired what she believed to be a professional importer, but who arranged the wrong documentation. Zarafa has already lost one of her horses on the journey, who was euthanized following the trip. She is being told by the Canadian Food Inspection Agency that she must return her two stallions, one of whom is 19, to France, or they will be euthanized. The authorities fear that the stallions may have contracted contagious equine metritis. Zarafa has offered to geld the stallions if it means saving her horses from another long journey or being euthanized. 18 high-performance saddles were stolen from Meadow Grove Training Stables in Lakeview Terrace, California, on November 27th, when thieves broke into the tack room and left with 8 Antares, 5 Amerigo, 1 CWD, and 1 Devaku saddle. All the saddles had nameplates on them, and most will have identifying numbers stamped on them. That's all the news today. I'm Chris Stafford for Horses in the Morning.
horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. A horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. Some of my friends, they only have just one. They're in recovery, but I'm having all the fun. I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. I own one of every breed under the sun. Chestnuts, Palominos, Buckskins, Tobianos, and Overos, Dapple Grays, Sorrels, Flats, and Mays. But see that mare over there? That canter is so rare. I'm a horse addict. I got a real big habit. I see what I want, I gotta have it. I'm a horse addict. Swing.
Horses in the Morning, and we thank Marianne Kennedy for allowing us to play that. You can find all of her music at MarianneKennedy.com here on Horses in the Morning, sponsored by Back on Track Products. Did you like that one, Janie?
I did. That's so appropriate for that. I mean, I cannot believe that these two women, Marianne Kennedy and Templeton Thompson, can write that many songs about horses that are that different and that good. And I just am so excited to have them be a part of our show.
I think that's
I
one of my
too.
Faves. I love
it's
that
It's a
one.
Whole lot of fun. Horse Addict. I love that one. I knew you would, too. Speaking of horse addicts, there's a bunch of horse addicts that reside over at thehorse.com. And we have our weekly horse health report from thehorse.com. We have Christy on the line. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Glenn. How are you doing?
We're doing great. We're just talking about horse husbands today, and it's appropriate that you come on wanting to talk about worms.
Are you saying? Never mind. I'm going to try not to go there. We do have a fun show today. We've actually got an extra guest with us today. We've got Aaron Denny Jones, as usual, but we also have Martin Nielsen from the University of Copenhagen in Denmark. We have an international segment today. Martin, can you tell us a little bit about what you do over there?
Hold on one second. I'm having trouble here. Uh-oh. Jennifer, can you put Martin on the air? Because I can't.
Side a worm
I
addict.
On the
and
you want
oh,
Martin?
There he is. Hi, Martin. We can hear you now.
Okay.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. I just enjoyed this song quite a lot. I am a horse addict myself, and I think not only that, I'm also a worm addict. So I'm lost, and I can't help it here.
Okay, there's so many jokes there that I'm not taking.
We could take the whole segment making jokes about that, and it would be fun. But let's go ahead into our topic a little bit. We're talking about parasites and deworming, deworming is one of the most common horse health care tasks that everyone does with their horses. But we've been shifting a lot in what researchers and veterinarians have been telling us over the last several years, from deworming by a calendar to deworming to a more tailored deworming program. And Martin, can you tell us a little bit of the reason behind that?
Yes, well, generally we have just realized that this counter-debase approach where you treat all horses with regular intervals just throughout the year basically just leads to one thing, and that's the parasites getting resistant towards the drugs, and that's really not a very good situation because we still want to preserve the drugs for treating any horse that might get sick from its parasites. So that's basically the reason why we now need to change our approach.
And what in a more tailored approach includes what?
Well, through studies we've done, we've realized that, well, first of all, parasites are really just a natural thing. All horses have parasites. They all get them. They all get exposed to them. And it doesn't mean that they all get sick from them. And I think we should get used to that thought. That's probably one of the paradigms that needs to change, that worms are not bad and we can't get rid of them. We've tried that for 40 years and they're still all here. But what we found out is that there's huge differences between horses. Some horses just barely get any parasites at all or get very few, and then a few horses get a lot. So some horses need fewer treatments than others, and there's no need to waste a lot of drugs on a horse that manages its parasite burdens very well itself. And we used to say that 20% of the horses harbor 80% of the parasites. That means that the large majority of horses actually don't have very many parasites, and they don't shed very many eggs.
So they're able to control their worm burdens. Just genetically, they have a better ability to do that.
Yes, there's definitely something genetic in this. There's also just the immunity that develops to the parasites. The horse still get parasites, and as I said, it's just natural. What can make a horse sick is if it gets in too many parasites, and that is still the rare event. So we just need to get used to the fact that the parasites are there, and what we should be doing is to prevent a buildup of large burdens that eventually might lead to disease.
So how do we know if a horse is carrying a high parasite burden?
Yes, well, the tool that we have is basically very simple. We can perform a fecal egg count, and your veterinarian can do that. It's simple, straightforward. There's different methods, but they're all based on the same principle that we know that the eggs will float in a certain fluid that we provide to the sample. And then in the microscope, we can count and also identify the parasite eggs. And then we know from the count number whether the horse will be a low shedder, intermediate shedder, or perhaps one of these few criminal high egg shedders that we definitely need to treat. It doesn't mean that the horse with a high egg count is more likely to get sick. Usually, that's my experience, it's almost always the most fatty pony in the herd. But it's shedding a lot of eggs out into the environment, which might lead to a buildup that could cause disease in other horses. So parasite surveillance through fecal egg counting in adult horses, we recommend twice a year before and after the grazing season.
Very good. Now, and you use those fecal tests to tell you how often you should deworm those low, moderate, and high egg shedders, correct?
Correct. With one of these constant high egg shedders, that's typically a horse that if you do a fecal egg count every 6 months and you treat that horse accordingly, and 6 months later you go back and it's then just as high again, those horses could need a more aggressive treatment, or you could use a drug with a more prolonged efficacy, while other horses don't need so many treatments or don't need as prolonged efficacy drugs. So, yes, you can tailor your treatments towards those, targeting those high shedders. Those are the most important to get treated.
Very good. Now, there's some financial aspects to this, too, because you could certainly think, well, if we're doing all these fecal tests, then it's got to be more expensive than just throwing a tube of dewormer at the horse every so often.
That's what this horse husband was thinking.
But in reality, that's not always the case. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's also a cost to just throw in dewormers in them every other month or every 6 weeks, as many people do around Kentucky. And especially if you never tested that drug works at all anymore. I mean, that in many, many cases, it might not work. And if you don't perform any test of the efficacy of the drug, you're just wasting money and you're wasting medicine and you're living on a false sense of security that you think that you have control over the parasites. And in reality, you have not. Well, the horse might not show any symptoms until maybe one day it has built up a parasite burden, which is too big, too high for that horse. And then when it does get sick, you don't have any drugs left to treat it with. So that might be very expensive, because in that scenario, you might end up just losing that horse, because we don't have any new drugs coming into the market. So we have the same drugs we've had for 25, 30 years. And if we don't slow down the treatment intensity and reduce the treatment intensity and slow down the development of resistance, we might end in that situation. We've had it already with the sheep industry and goat industry, also in the U.S., that there's multi-drug resistant worms on the farms, no drugs left working, and that's simply not a scenario we would wish for in the horses. So yes, it might cost some to pay for the fecal egg counts, but you also pay for a lot of extra treatments that for many, many horses, for the large majority of the horses, it's probably not necessary at all. So you also save money if you perform surveillance.
And I think Aaron has a story of someone who was able to save a whole lot of money by doing a few fecal egg counts and finding out their horses didn't need as much dewormer as they were getting. Is that right, Aaron?
Yes. And my 2 cents added to this whole conversation is keeping the environment clean, which is what this client does. She is very meticulous about making sure that the stalls are clean and her pastures are clean. She doesn't overload her pastures with her number of horses, too, so that's also keen. But she has about 10 horses, and she did fecals on all 10 horses and found them to be free of worms. She quit using her daily dewormer, saved a significant amount of money. We're going to test her again this month, and I would bet you any money that they're all going to be free of worms, and she won't be using any dewormers. Healthy for the horse.
Exactly. And it's a perfect example, I can give you lots of similar examples from just around where I work. I know many people who, with greatest enthusiasm, do perform what we call pasture hygiene, so go out and pick up poop on a regular basis during the grazing season. Particularly those with small-scale horse herds. I mean, if they have 100 horses, it's a different scenario. But if they have a few, it's really doable. And actually, there's also some industry now actually providing machines, vacuum cleaners that you could drive out with and then just suck up the poop, which makes it more easy or more comprehensible to do. And,
by the way, that
people
one,
put
that one
I have to
interrupt and say that product is recommended for all horse husbands in America. If you want to buy your horse husband something and he's in charge of cleaning the paddocks, that one there is a good one.
I knew
give him an ATV
on
and he'll be happy.
Yes, exactly.
That's true. Yeah. So I see this happening a lot here, and I definitely see potential for that in the U.S. as well. I mean, many people like the idea of being green in their approach for something like parasite control. So if you can reduce the use of chemical dewormers and do something biological instead that makes sense, and then people are into it. So, yes, this is the most efficient way of parasite control, because you really reduce the majority of parasites when you move the poop away. I mean, there's 80% of the parasite population are actually on pasture, not in the horses. So it's much more efficient to remove the feces than to actually treat all the horses. So that's something to think about.
No downside to moving the poo. Go ahead.
Yeah, you can reuse the feces, the poop, because if you compost it, then the parasites will die because it gets too hot in there, and then you can add it as fertilizer onto the pasture. So it's, and then the cycle is full.
And it's very much a green approach. I had a couple from California did not want my horse manure because I used dewormers. They didn't find it to be truly organic.
Oh yeah,
so
there you go.
You think about that aspect of it as, you know, the people that truly want to be pure about organic don't want to have any kind of artificial issues coming through the manure. So you got another level there to look at.
Sure.
That's a good point, yeah.
And that leads me into another area, which is something that we didn't actually have on the list, but since you bring it up, non-chemical dewormers. We've always gotten a number of questions about that whenever we do an event on parasites and deworming, and people ask about things like diatomaceous earth or any number of other herbal-type products that are supposed to help provide some worm control. What are your thoughts on those?
Well, I'm generally always very positive when I hear about something new with potential that could work. And when you think of it, even drugs like ivermectin and some of the most used drugs that we have now for parasite control actually came out of something natural. I mean, ivermectin comes from a fungus, and it was actually just found by chance that they noticed that actually it could kill parasites. So of course, there should be potential for something more, but I have to say, honestly, I can't count how many times I've been disappointed because I haven't been able to see any documentation of any such product that they should work. And when I've had access to actually testing some of these, or some of my colleagues have, usually we've been disappointed and it hasn't worked. But with that being said, there's some studies being done with specific plants that have condensed tannins, which is a chemical substance within them that actually does seem to provide some activity against the worms, and that's being done in scientific studies, and it looks like there might be something there. There has been a lot of work done with predaceous fungi, so you feed fungal spores to the animals, the horses, and then the spores just pass through the intestinal tract, and they come out in the feces with the worms and sporulate there and actually end up killing the worms there. And that also looked to have some promise, but we basically haven't seen any scientifically proven product on the market yet. I think there's potential. It could be happening, but I would always be skeptical when I hear about something like that, and I would at least like to see some documentation.
Sure.
And my experience is I'll do fecal exam on those people. They'll want me to do fecal exams, check fecal egg count. But I've also found that those are the same people that do meticulously pick their stalls or pastures or paddocks. So it's kind of hard to say if the product is truly working, because they're also doing a very good job with their environment.
Sure.
Yeah. You would need a control group, an untreated control group, in order to be able to actually conclude anything. And usually that's difficult with a client because they want their animals treated. But yes, taking some fecals and run some post-treatment samples is definitely a good idea if you want to try one of these products. And that's something I would recommend to the listeners. If you have something like this, whatever feed additive it could be, and you're wondering if it has any activity against the parasites, have your vet run some post-treatment fecal samples and see if it does anything. That's a good suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Very good. We touched a few minutes ago on composting and heat related to killing parasites, and since we're coming into winter, we have a whole lot less heat. How does that affect parasites in horses?
Well, yeah, that's a very sensible question that I often get, and there seems to be a misconception that there's something like called the killing frost. You often hear about that. That might be a killing frost. It might kill other things, but definitely not the parasites. So the stages that we have on pasture, particularly the eggs that are being shed in the fall and also the larvae that do develop from these eggs, they have been shown to be very, very resistant to frost. They actually love the freezing, and it just preserves them and keeps them alive in a dormant stage until the following spring, especially in areas where we also get snow cover. So if you get constant cold weather with snow cover and the horses have been grazing late in the fall on that pasture, you can count on that pasture being contaminated with parasites the following spring. And you might think about which horses you then turn out on that pasture. If you have foals, newborn foals, for instance, you might want to use another one for those.
All right. Hey guys, we're plain running out of time. We have now become the first morning radio show to talk about poop, fecals, and wormers for 20 minutes, and our audience was enthralled. That has to be a first on morning radio.
Does it get any better than that? I'm just saying.
Guys,
I love
everybody
this for
me. Having, everybody that was having their coffee and eggs this morning. But you know what? That is true. Only horse people would listen to this and be as enthralled as Jamie and I were in the mornings over breakfast and wouldn't find that a problem.
You're right, only in the horse world. And this is why we have so much fun being in the horse world. We can talk about these.
That's true. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Christy. And we want to thank thehorse.com for being part of our show here weekly. We look forward to our horse health segments every Wednesday about 9:45. Thank you all. And thank you for all the way from Copenhagen, of all things.
Not a problem. I enjoyed participating. And let me know if you need me another time.
All right. Sounds good.
We
thank
will definitely
y'all.
Do that. Thanks so much.
See you
have
next.
A great day.
All
have
right.
A good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, you know, that is true when you think about it, Jamie. Where else can you go and have a conversation about poop and worms and fecals in the morning and have people interested and not turning you off?
That's what's so amazing is that is such a fascinating topic. We actually practice this here in Phoenix a lot just simply because, we're running out of dewormers. That's a big problem. Like, there's no test dewormers in the pipeline, so we all have to be very careful and cautious. And just a note, if you have a veterinarian that you can go to, the reason I know this is because over the past year before I started here, I worked at Durango Vet Clinic, at Equine Veterinary Hospital here in the West Valley of Phoenix. And what you have to do is you don't deworm your horses for a couple months and then collect the poop. When you collect the poop, you then put it. Now, check this out, Glenn. Tell me how much horse husbands would love this. If you can't take it directly to the clinic, put it in your refrigerator.
Okay, that's where I draw the line. Do not put poop in my refrigerator.
Well,
you're going to
have
your own refrigerator
it.
For poop.
You can't freeze it, so and you don't want to leave it in room temperature, so you have to put it somewhere. And our vets would recommend to put it in your refrigerator. So, that's one thing that I was glad I had a little mini barn fridge for. Because
yeah.
My husband
be visiting
would have been
You're my wife. You're going to be visiting the Walmart. I used to have trouble with the syringes in the refrigerator. I found that kind of creepy. I think putting the poop in the fridge, that's where I draw the line as this horse has been. I maybe someday will wear a pair of breeches for a promotional event, but no poop in the fridge. That's not happening. Well, it comes to that time, Jamie, when we have to get our guests on the phone here. We have Robin from World Equestrian Brands. Hi, Robin. You're on the air.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. We thank you so much for taking the time or for, making the donation and allowing us all month to promote these beautiful Vespucci bridles. And we've come to the point now where we have to pick a winner. And I also want to introduce and say hi to Debbie from Equestrian Collections. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Glenn.
You guys, when I called over there yesterday, I could hear tape going and boxes being packed. It must be crazy over there right now.
Yeah, it is. Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah, too.
Right, exactly, and all the rest.
Well, you know, Robin and Debbie, we so appreciate both of you donating the prizes that you did. We, of course, had a $500 gift certificate from Equestrian Collections that they could use for their holiday shopping. And there's going to be one lucky winner there. And then another lucky winner is going to win a Vespucci bridle. Now, tell everybody a little bit about the Vespucci bridles again.
Sure. They are designed by Peter Manette, who's the Amerigo mastermind. And basically, his goal is to provide a beautiful product, high-quality leather, but something that works in favor with the horse. So things like single crown pieces and padding that is, you can center it under the bars of the jaw and all those little details that make it more comfortable for the horse to actually be wearing the equipment.
Well, they're drop-dead gorgeous. Thank you.
Yeah, that's what he aims for. So
that.
Function and beauty and high quality. So,
and they're not the most inexpensive bridle you're going to buy. They're quality bridle, but they're not the most inexpensive. So basically the winner has their choice of any of the Vespucci bridles. All they have to do is let Robin know and reins. And we're talking a value up to $600 here. So this is quite a Christmas present for someone out there. And the way we're going to do this, we took all the callers. We have, I have a spreadsheet here. It goes up to 97 callers we had in the first month, which we're thrilled with. And by the way, thank you to everybody who listened. We got our numbers for the first month here. This show is the fastest show out of the block of any that we have done here on the Horse Radio Network. We've had thousands of live listeners. We've had many thousands of downloads to this show every day. We are thrilled with it so far. I got a report card on Jamie from a couple of the listeners, and it looks like she gets to keep her job for another month. However, it looks like I have to fire myself. So,
Robin,
we'll let you pick first. We have a spreadsheet here from numbers 1 to 97. And basically, you have not seen this spreadsheet. Let's do that. Let's do this little disclaimer thing. You guys have not seen this spreadsheet. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's correct.
Me neither.
Okay, good. So you haven't. Yeah, neither has Jamie. So this is all the callers for the month from 1 to 97. Pick a number.
Okay, I'm going to pick number 4.
Ooh, that's my favorite number, by the way.
Me too.
And number 4 is Aubrey Miller of Summerfield, North Carolina, who I think is a regular contributor to our Facebook page also. Matter of fact, she just posted here and said, as the pasture vacuum, your barn manager recommends it as well. So, so Aubrey Miller, congratulations on a new Vespucci bridle. And we'll make sure, and Aubrey, if you're listening right now, which I probably think you are, give us a call right now, and we'll get you on the air before the end of the show. So Aubrey Miller is your winner, Robin.
That's great. Congratulations, Aubrey.
I'm excited about that. Now we have, I wish I had a drum roll. I didn't prepare for this properly, Jamie. I need a drum roll. Can you do a drum roll, Jamie? Thank you.
How's that?
Okay, now, Debbie. You need to also pick a number from 1 to 97, with the exception of number 4.
Right. And I wanted to say that the gift certificate doesn't have to be used for this holiday either. The gift certificate, don't feel any pressure, can be used all next year as well.
Are you kidding me? They're going to have it spent within a day.
Well, I just didn't want to put any pressure on anybody. And I picked the number 66.
Okay, let me see who we have here. We have Jennifer Nichols of Cedar something, Colorado. So, Jennifer from Colorado, congratulations. You're now going to be spending $500 at Equestrian Collections. And it was funny, I don't know if you've noticed it, Debbie, because you've been kind of busy packing boxes and doing all that. But on our Facebook page yesterday, there was a lot of people writing in saying what they would do with their $500 if they won. And I'm just looking down. I don't think she was one of them. So if you're listening, please do give us a call here at 347-637-3238. We'd love to hear what you're going to be doing with your $500.
Hey, Glenn.
Equestrian Collections goodies.
Hey, Glenn.
Yeah.
Hey, when Aubrey gets her new bridle from World Equestrian Brands, she needs to post a picture of her horse wearing it.
Oh,
yes.
That'd be great.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Front and center. Because those bridles are, you know, if a bridle can be sexy, they are.
We'd love to have that on our Facebook page also, so that'd be great.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations, you guys. You know, and that's what's so cool about this show is that, you know, we're giving away the prizes that everybody wants. You know, it's like if you listen to the regular radio, they might be giving away some movie tickets that you don't really care anything about, so you're not going to try. This thing has been so popular, both of these prizes. You know, people are asking, how exactly do we win? What can we do? Do we need to call today? What if we've already called? Do we just post on Facebook? You know, and it's been very exciting to see everybody get so excited about these awesome prizes, and just can't thank you guys enough for participating and, you know, kind of taking a chance on our first month here at the Horse Radio Network doing this Horses in the Morning. So we really want to thank you both for donating these unbelievable, huge prizes and kind of, you know, jumping in 2 feet, you know, right at the beginning. So we really do appreciate it. And kudos to you and all of our sponsors here on Horses in the Morning.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for everything you guys do.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity, and congratulations on everything going so great right off the start. So,
It's a lot of fun. Jamie and I don't have any fun at all doing this show. It's just boring us every morning, as you can tell. Yeah, it's just awful. Well, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. Well, Jennifer, we'll get back to you shortly with names and addresses.
Great.
Okay,
thank you
very much. And
right,
happy
bye-bye.
Holidays to everyone. Happy
thank
holidays.
You. Well, that was terrific of them to do that. You know, these are serious prizes that we were giving away there. So that was a lot of fun. So we have Jennifer Nichols and Aubrey Miller were the two big winners for the month. And we really appreciate them both. If either one of them are listening, you still have about 10 minutes to give us a call at 347-637-3238. And if they don't get back to us today, I'm sure we'll be able to get them on the line here over the next couple of days. They might actually have jobs and be working, you know, that little thing there.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? I don't think any of our other listeners want to hear from them anyway, because they're probably all mad.
That's right. Hey, we got a couple answers. Matter of fact, Facebook has been busy this morning. Curtis wrote in about the movie. He says Lightning, the White Stallion in 1986. Mickey Rooney plays a down-on-his-luck gambler. I didn't know Mickey Rooney was in it. Plays a down-on-his-luck gambler whose expensive horse is stolen by a thug who wants the White Stallion for himself. With the aid of two young friends, Rooney attempts to outwit the criminal and win back his beloved horse. Does that sound familiar?
Well, yeah, except for the part you forgot to mention, that it was with the aid of his two young friends and netposse.com.
Oh, really? In the movie?
No.
Glad you had me going. I was going.
You're such a sucker.
No. Oh, I think it's funny. He's such a sucker, too. Netposse.com in 1987, before the internet was invented, was really helping Mickey Rooney find his horse. Oh, Glenn, bless your heart.
Yeah.
I do think it's funny that somebody else posted about, oh, it's Lightning, the White Stallion, the drunk owner crashes the horse trailer, the girl finds the horse, it ends up being a show jumper. They must have had 15 different horses playing that horse. That actually was not Lightning, the White Stallion. That was Sylvester, because Sylvester was the one where, if you watch this, Glenn, it was actually filmed at the Kentucky Horse Park for the most part. She's riding the horse in this, like, horse, I think it's a hunter jumper, maybe a venting competition, and they're going around, and in one clip, the horse is flea bitten, and then the next clip, they come around, and the girl's wearing something totally different, and she's on a dapple gray, and then as it comes around to the last fence, you know, it's completely white. It is the funniest thing to see them attempt to make this all look like the same horse. But
that was
Sylvester,
a great guess to play that. Yeah.
Was it?
The horse's name was the Gray Goose, and the rider who did all the stunts was Kim Wolnis.
Well, I think that there was more than one Gray Goose.
Well, yeah, they had several horses. And he only did the cross-country pieces.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. He only did the cross-country.
Hey, pieces. I got, speaking of Kim Wolnis, actually, was Jennifer's old coach while we lived in Pennsylvania. But I got an email this morning just a little bit ago that, and I'm trying to find it now, that you guys are going to, that you're, I know that you're going to be shocked at. It just came in from the Rolex Kentucky 3-day event, and they've just announced that for the first time ever, they're offering eventing fans a new fun way to watch the excitement of the cross country. They are selling tailgating spots along the course where you'll be able to back your car up and have a tailgate.
Woohoo!
Get out! Oh, my God!
No, I'm not
awesome.
Kidding. Yeah. One of the, let's see here, standard and premium tailgating spaces are available at a cost of $275 to $325. Tailgaters may bring their own food, or they may pre-order special tailgating food and beverages. There will also be concessions and stands near the tailgating locations. This is just going to be like you're going to a steeplechase.
I want a tailgate. I want a tailgate.
I think that
how
the
cool
Horse Radio
that?
Network needs to purchase a tailgate right by the water jump.
Well, you know, it says there that you can host up to eight people per vehicle. So that's about all the hosts there are in our Horse Radio Network. That would be perfect. We'll just back a van up there.
Hey, Glenn,
have a good time.
We
can record.
We purchased the spot, and we can give away passes to our tailgate for Rolex as a prize. And have our
Oh, and Aubrey just posted. Our winner just posted, the bridal just posted, holy cow, Aubrey Miller, who said on Facebook, you guys rock. I wish I could call this morning, but don't have my phone. Sitting here by my computer listening instead. Have an actual day off for the first time in weeks, so I'm not cleaning stalls this morning. have a Vespucci figure eight jumper bridle, so definitely know the quality. We'll most certainly post a picture. Yay. So there you go. She knows all about Vespucci bridles.
Glenn, I think it's not yay. It's yay! Look at all the exclamation points.
Well, congratulations there, Aubrey. We really appreciate you listening at your computer this morning, and you got to hear your name called. How cool was that? Thank you to everybody who called last month. As I said, the numbers, we were thrilled with the numbers that have come out for this little show that Jamie and I do every day, and Jennifer. And we're just going to keep doing it now, I guess. So I guess you can keep your job for another couple weeks there, Jamie.
At least through the holiday season so I can pay my bills.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate you being here. We'll be back again tomorrow. Tomorrow, Jamie, everybody needs to listen in because we have something fun tomorrow. Tomorrow, we are going to talk to someone, and I won't say who. We'll keep this a secret. We are going to talk about the ultimate equine Christmas gift. And when I mean ultimate equine Christmas gift, I mean ultimate. This is
you mean
the top
ultimately,
of the line.
Ultimately unaffordable?
Ultimately everything. This is the Christmas gift that every Christmas person would just dream about, and you better win a big lottery to get it. So we're going to have a guest on to talk about that tomorrow, as well as we're having Reese Koffler-Stanfield back with her Cooking with Reese segment. Remember how much fun that was last time?
Yes, she awesome soup. So to keep you warm through the beginning of the cold. Now she's coming back on, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say. If you missed the live show, you can always listen to every recorded version on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to ever miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning, and I actually, before the week is up, I'm going to tell you about the complete error that I made. To the point where things might get a little hairy at the show this weekend. So we'll tell you about that tomorrow or Friday, and we do appreciate everybody being a part of the Horses in the Morning. Congratulations to the winner. Goodbye. Wear your helmet and say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. We're heading off to TSO tonight, and if you're lucky, I'll be here tomorrow morning.